Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, it was Easter, and a worshiper excitedly said to the pastor after the service, "I've never seen such a crowd before at church." Apparently, she was very impressed with the number of people that were there for Easter worship. Then, a little quieter, she leaned in and asked, "Do you suppose it'll make any difference?" And the pastor said, "What do you mean, will what make a difference?" "Well, Easter," she said. "Will Easter make any difference for all these people? Or will life tomorrow be the same as it was yesterday?" It's a very profound question. Will Easter make a difference in our lives? Will Easter make a difference in your life? Has this past week been any different for you because of the Easter event last Sunday? Well, I'd like to suggest this morning that Easter can, will, and does make a difference in our lives. And it makes a difference in at least three areas that we're going to discuss today. Because of Easter, we exist in the living presence of the living Lord. He's no longer in the tomb. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And the second point, because of Easter, there is now a profound sense of peace in our living, in our daily life, because of Easter. And number three, life is marked with purpose now because of the Easter experience. I want to look at these three areas this morning and see that Easter does make a difference in our life. At least it should make a difference in our life. We're going to discuss each of these areas and learn how last weekend truly does impact us today and tomorrow and every day after. So let's go to number one. Abiding in the living presence of Jesus through the Easter story does make a difference in our lives. And maybe the best way to explain this would be to share a story about the difference that a clown made. There was once a hospital's children's ward, and it was a very depressing place to be because it seemed so many of the children had little hope. This lack of hope was reflected in the faces of the nurses who requested a change, another assignment after spending just a short time in this sad, sad children's ward. Even the parents and friends that came to visit the children, they found it difficult to stay there for any length of time in that disheartening environment. One man changed this. He dressed up like a clown. And at first, the nurses were apprehensive about, what's this going on now? How is this going to help? Some of the parents were even a little offended when he showed up in a clown outfit. But you know what the children did? They smiled and they laughed and they cheered for that clown. You see, the children could sense that the clown loved them from his own heart and brought hope to them. And the clown hoped that today was not the end of the story for these kids. And he had a powerful influence on their lives because he gave them hope. You know, the nurses, they kind of warmed up to the clown. They began to laugh and smile as well. The children began to love the nurses. Parents began to love what the clown was accomplishing in their children's lives. But then one day came and the clown didn't come anymore. His life had ended. However, he does live on in that hospital ward. He lives on in the smile which is still there because he gave those children hope. Today, someone else is wearing the silly costume and that fake smile. But most importantly, someone else is there bringing hope in and through love. And friends, after the Easter story, we are also abiding in the living presence of the living Lord, which means we are people who should be living in hope and victory. Hope that because he lives, we can live too. And not just live in this day, but really thrive. Thrive in a way that brings hope in this world of brokenness. Hope that the people, events, circumstances that we find ourselves in, that they don't have to always be that way. That we don't have to simply tolerate the brokenness of the world, that there is a possibility of real change, a renewal, a new life, because Jesus is risen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Yeah, his living presence through the Holy Spirit in this world means we are not people who live in despair, but rather people who live in hope. Life doesn't have to go on in the same way. Easter can make a difference. And we can, if we open our eyes, we can see this activity in the world around us. We can see this proof of hope, this renewal, this change in people's lives. Because we all know people who have felt the forgiving power of Easter in their life, a hope that they don't have to live with guilt any longer, or shame any longer, or fear any longer. There are people who have accepted the gift and promise of the resurrection, and they understand they can now live with the promise of new life, even if maybe they've had a loved one pass on. And they can live in that promise that Jesus will heal the pain of death for themselves, for their loved ones, for their friends, for anybody and everybody that says, I believe. The hope that people who live with illness now have, that living in Christ's presence, that either they will be healed, because God can certainly do that, or even if he doesn't heal them, they now have the courage to live their lives inside of this broken world. So many times, God can use us, and God can use people that feel his love, and he can use them to witness and minister to folks around them. Our epistle shared this: that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. That's what Easter is all about. Easter does make a difference because the risen Lord is living with us, and he does bring hope and change and renewal and courage and strength and all of those good things. And he brings them where? He brings them into our life, and he shines through us out to other people's lives. And Jesus' presence in our lives through the Easter resurrection is like a lamplighter in the Robert Louis Stevenson story. Stevenson wrote this: a boy from the country came to London to live with his grandparents. One night, as it was getting dark, he sat on the front porch watching the sun go down and the darkening sights of the city. And as he watched, he saw a man coming down the street. Couldn't really make it out clearly, but the man seemed to stop at each corner and pause beside a lamppost. And then all of a sudden, a little globe of light would appear and burst forth out of the darkness. As the boy watched in wonderment, the street gradually changed from darkness to a place of light. He became so excited that he ran into his house and called to his grandmother, "There's a man outside poking holes in the darkness." Oh, I love that. And friends, yes, the living presence of Christ through the resurrection does poke holes in the darkness of our world, in the darkness of our life, in the darkness of our needs and our fears and our despair. And because he does, Easter can and does make a difference in our lives. Well, the second area of impact that is affected because of the Easter story is that we can now have a profound sense of peace in our own lives because of what happened on Easter. It's a peace that comes from knowing that the Father, through the Son and the work of the Holy Spirit, is in complete control of this life. It's a peace that I can surrender all of my fears and anxieties and hard thoughts and all these things and give it to him. And I know that he can more than adequately take care of me. It was a peace that Thomas was looking for when he found himself kind of outside of the group of the other 10 disciples whom Jesus had appeared to on that first Easter evening. You know, when Thomas returned to the group and heard that they had seen Jesus, he kind of set his own conditions and his own demands for what his assessment of peace would be. He said this. He said, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. I will not have peace until that happens." And it was a peace that he thought he could only find through his own assessment. In reality, it was only going to bring frustration. It was going to bring loneliness, despair, and sorrow. But the good news is, when he returned 8 days later to the community of believers, he was with them that time. when Jesus appeared a second time. And in that appearance, he found peace as he cried out, "My Lord and my God." And Thomas gave up his own conditions of peace, his own demands of what life meant for him, and began to live in and through Jesus. And when he did that, he was able to find a sense of peace, a sense of confidence, a sense of strength that God was indeed in control. Now, Easter can make a difference in our lives when we realize we don't have to be in control of everything. We don't always have to have our own way. We don't have to have our needs always met or conditions always met. But rather, the God who is in control, he can do things in a way which can bring peace into our lives if we will only let go of those things. Now, is it easy to give up control? Not at all. That's why there's so much pushback out in the world to the Easter message. Even many Christians aren't willing to give over complete control of their lives. You know why that is? It's called the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. Those things are so unwilling to live in that perspective, to cede control to something that's unseen. At Zion's Leadership Night this past Tuesday night, I used this text in the devotion where Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 were very appropriate. It says, "We look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, well, they're temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Yeah, there is peace in the Easter message, which says, hey, we belong to God regardless of the circumstances we see around us in this life. Sure, we can't see God, but we can feel his presence. We can see the outcome of what he does with us. Here's another story about peace. There was a little boy who had a terminal illness, and he knew he was dying, even though his parents had never said that in front of him. So one day he had the courage to ask his mother finally, and he said, "Mom, what's it like to die? Will it hurt?" Well, the mother thought for a moment as she searched for an answer to this really hard question, and she finally said, "You know, Charlie, do you remember when you used to play with your friends all day? You'd be so tired when you came in. We'd sit down, we'd watch TV, and you'd fall asleep in your chair. But Charlie, that's not where you belonged. But in the morning, you always woke up where you belonged, right? Your dad carried you from that chair up to your bedroom, tucked you into your bed where you belonged. Charlie, I think that's what death is like. I think it's just like waking up and finding ourselves in the place where we really belong, safe in the strong, loving arms of Jesus." Friends, that is the peace which Christ can give to our life, the knowledge and the conviction, the comfort and the confidence that, you know what, we belong to him no matter what happens with us. It's a sense of well-being in the middle of heartache and disease and illness and despair. It's the sense of confidence, knowing, believing, and trusting that somehow, some way, God is in control. Even when we're going through challenges and difficult times, we can see his hand. Even when we cannot understand all the chaos around us, my friends, God is still in control. Well, today I can't pass up the chance to share one of my absolute favorite Bible passages coming from the end of our gospel reading. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, this was not my confirmation verse, but knowing what I know now, I love this. I'd love to go back and re-choose and say, instead of the Matthew 28, I want to use this one. This one is awesome. Everything written by John and all of the other evangelists is there so that we can understand true life in Jesus' name. Life. With peace, shalom, a sense of blessing in our lives. Easter can make a difference in our lives. Easter allows a widow to go on living. It enables a person racked with chronic pain or illness to still find joy in life. A young person searching for meaning and purpose finally can find his or her place. And it can be a place which enables a mother and a father, a husband and wife, to overcome the difficulties of marriage and family, finding peace and finding the forgiving power in Jesus. Do you understand? Easter was not just something we celebrated once last weekend. The Easter experience, the Easter resurrection, it happens continually and constantly, and it can bring life in even the worst conditions, the worst circumstances we can think up or maybe we're living through right now. We can have a sense that God is in control, that we belong to Him, and that life does go on in and through Him. Finally, we move to the third way that Easter can impact our life. Easter can make a difference in our lives in that it marks life with a purpose and a meaning. It can give us goals and can give us a sense of direction. Maybe a good way to understand this is to share with you a very old legend. Now, this is not biblical, it's not accurate, but it is a legend. It says, when birds were first created, they could not fly, for they had no wings. They looked with longing at the clouds, the high branches of the trees, the best fruits at the tops of those trees. If only these things could be theirs. Well, God heard their desire. And one night, while all the birds were sleeping, He attached wings to their backs. But when they awoke, the birds were furious that God had given them this unwanted burden, which now they would have to carry around with them for the rest of their lives. How could God lay upon them more than they already had to bear? But then one bird started moving his new wings, and one figured out that he could kind of lift himself up off the ground, and all of a sudden they had a freedom that they never knew existed. They discovered that burden that God had laid on them was actually a beautiful gift because their wings became a way to a more abundant life. Friends, this message of the Easter resurrection, this message of the gospel, the responsibility as Christians that we have of living in the commands of the Lord, the duty of being a holy temple in our body, a living sacrifice to the Lord, well, it is a burden, but it's a burden placed on each of us as we become God's children in baptism. But at the same time, all of those aspects of our faith relationship are gifts from God. And they do things like bring meaning and purpose in our lives, give us a sense of direction. They are like those wings for the birds. Sure, a burden to carry, but a blessing at the same time, because through them, your life and my life can now have a sense of direction, a sense of purpose, a sense of calling in and through the Easter resurrection, the power of the risen Lord, the Lord who speaks to us on the day of His resurrection when Jesus said to His disciples and us, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And we know that as the Great Commission that Matthew chapter 28 shares so loudly and so boldly. The message of Easter is that it happened. And for His followers, those who understand the truth of God and what He does for each and every one of us, He says, "You know the truth. Now go and do something about it." Because when the gospel becomes more than just a weight for us, more than just a burden, "Oh, I got to get up early on a Sunday morning again. I got to get up really early for Easter rehearsal. 5 o'clock, I think, is when I got up last week." Wow, that's a burden. That's a duty. But friends, it's more than that. When it can be viewed as a gift to enrich life, then that life can have such freedom and such power and give us such courage and strength that there is absolutely no limit to what can be done. When life is seen through the power of Easter, you can see for what seems like miles and miles. And you can see all the things that need doing in this world. You can see all of the hurt, all of the pain, all the suffering, the hunger, all the inhuman conditions which find ourselves. And friends, we can also see solutions to those hurts. We can find ways through those things because of our faith. Because maybe, just maybe, if more of us were open to the gospel message, open to God's Spirit working within us. Maybe if we took this Easter message more seriously, then maybe we ourselves could find some direction, some purpose, some meaning in our life through God. Maybe if God's hands were doing the guiding, then we wouldn't have so many people wandering aimlessly on the road of life. I mean, you've seen them. They're all over the nightly news. All these people going after this thing and the next thing and the other thing and talking about things that really, in the scheme of things, they're temporary, not eternal. I'm going to close with an old story, and like many old stories, it has been passed around for so long, the origin has been lost, but I think it's still a good one. A stranger once met a young man going to school, and yeah, this was before school buses and cars. The boy was carrying on his back a much smaller boy, a boy who was clearly lame and unable to walk himself. And the stranger said to the boy, "Do you carry him to school every day?" "Well, yeah, I do." "Boy, wow, what a heavy burden for you to be carrying." "Oh, he's no burden. He's my brother." My friends, the burden of God's grace is really no burden at all, because it is carried out of love, for God, and most importantly, God's love for us. Don't let the Easter resurrection pass you by. Don't let it be just a one and done. Don't let it happen one time in the spring and then we get the rest of the year to prepare for it again. No, it is here with us every Sunday, and more than that, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well. It is always with us. And I pray this morning, the week after Easter, that this time will be blessing to you. And you can take this message out into the world and find strength and peace and joy from it. In Jesus' name, amen.